Did God speak to us this morning, church?
Yes.
What did you hear him say? Let's rehearse it. What did you hear him say? No more games. We've treated him lightly. Sometimes when we treat God lightly, we take him casually, don't we? The people perish in the Old Testament. There's a verse that talked about without a progressive vision, the people perish, which means dwell carelessly. Do we do that sometimes?
Sometimes.
But how many know God loves you, and that's why he speaks to us in that way?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your voice to us, for your verse to us, for your word to us. Can everybody say thank you along with me? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Take out your Bibles, if you would, please. I'd like you all to have your own Bible, and if you don't have it this morning, others around you will get one for you. Raise your hand if you need one. We're going to Daniel chapter 4. Book of Daniel chapter 4. Which I think you will find, one more time, the Lord has been amazing, and the prophetic word is confirmation totally of what we find in this chapter. A few months back, I did 5 lessons on the book of Daniel, some of the most important stories that we hear about all the time, and present application, Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrew children getting thrown into the fire. Lessons for us today, absolutely powerful. You recall that Israel and Judah, Israel was taken away to Assyria. Judah stayed another 100 years or so as they continued to go on, or even longer, but they did not walk faithfully with God. And the Lord fulfilled his word to them, which was to take them into Babylon, where they would be for 70 years. And the Babylon nation, Pat, if you could put some of these up, the Babylonian kingdom was vast. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, the king we're going to read about this morning, had vast territory. And he was a fairly good king to those who he overran. And yet, this man was completely in charge. When you want to say in charge, Nebuchadnezzar was in charge. And the 3 Hebrew children, or the 4 rather, the 3 plus Daniel, went into Babylon as teenagers. Sam's not here this morning. You recall I made Sam stand up every single time because he was about that age when he went in. But they were steadfast in their faith to God. They didn't want to give up their diet. They didn't want to give up the things of holiness as they walked with God. And they were steadfast and they took strong stances. And yet the spirit of how they took those stances is instructive to us. How many understand they were in a post-Israeli culture in Babylon? Israel had been taken over. It was destroyed. Judah was gone. They were gone. How many understand we're in a post-Israeli Christian nation? The reality is, though we give lip service and though there is forefathers and a foundation in our land of godliness and Christian heritage, the people who are in control of governmental offices and setting policies today do not respect the Word of God and in fact have kicked the Word of God out of our culture, out of our law, out of our courts, out of our school as much as is possible. But how many know God's still God? Turn to each other and say, God's still in charge, y'all. So Daniel is instructive to us, and the book of Daniel has things to say to us about how to live in this culture. And we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 4 this morning. I hope you're there. In Daniel chapter 2, we had a dream, or the king of Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And on that dream, he saw a lot of interesting metals that fashioned a man. He was absolutely stunned. He had no idea what he was looking at. And he called together his soothsayers, his counselors, his advisors, and not a one of them could interpret the dream. In fact, he was upset with them. Then he was going to kill them all because he thought they were messing around with him and he wanted them to give him the dream and the interpretation. And he said, you can't do that. And then Daniel heard of this situation and understands that the Spirit of the living God can interpret dreams. And so Daniel came in, they fasted, they prayed, and Daniel came in and brought an interpretation. The head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was on the throne at that time. Daniel is sweetly telling him, as a young man of God, as a young Israeli, you're the head of gold, O king. What do you think that would do to his head of gold? You're the head of gold. And everybody comes under you. And then it goes on down and you see a fascinating, real interpretation of history through the world. They were taken over by Persia. And that was the head or the breast of silver. After them, following up, came the thighs of brass, representing Greece, and Alexander the...
Great.
Alexander the who?
Great.
Oh, he wasn't so great. Yeah, but Alexander the Great. Yeah, he was absolutely incredible, nearly took over the whole known world, and then following him, legs of iron, representing Rome, and then many say the revived Roman Empire are the mixture of the clay and the iron as the last days unfold. But the most important part I want to show you to remind you here is that the head was gold representing Nebuchadnezzar. Remember what happened? Why did the three Hebrew children get thrown into the fire? Remember?
They wouldn't bow to
what? Okay, so King Nebuchadnezzar is told he's the head of gold. And that doesn't fill him with gratitude that God's made him so wonderful. How many of you know the blessing of God comes to our life? And often, if we're not careful, instead of creating a tender heart, we can go, yeah, I'm blessed. Deserve it. How many know in this room you don't deserve it? You know, Robbie could tell you the story. You want to get hit by a car, just walk around thinking you deserve it. No, that's not how he wants it. But sometimes life happens. Life happens to bring us to our knees and show us that God's in charge. God rules. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what God was doing in America, and we talked about how Benjamin Franklin, as an 81-year-old man, stood up at the Constitutional Convention, and he said, "Sirs, we have failed by not calling out to God," because, remember, he said these words, "God governs in the affairs of men." You remember? He rules in the affairs of men. Anybody know where that comes from? Daniel chapter 4. Let's go. Nebuchadnezzar's praise. Nebuchadnezzar's praise. Now we're going to look at what happens. In chapter 2, we have the dream. In chapter 3, he sets up this huge obelisk. Bow down to it. The three children of Israel won't do it. They get thrown into the fiery furnace. And the fourth, like the sons of the gods, who we believe represents Jesus, was in the fire with them, burned off their bondage. They didn't even have the smell of smoke. But King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't yet responding to this God. He's amazed. He looks in the fire. He brings these children out of the fire. But he doesn't yet heart-to-heart respond to God. Daniel chapter 4, 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king to all peoples, nations. Now he's going to write a letter to everybody. We're going to see an amazing thing unfold. "And to all the languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and what? Wonders, the signs and wonders that the," say it with me please, "Most High God has worked for me. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from," please say it with me, "generation to generation." He sends a message of peace to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth. Let me ask you a question, church. Who gives true peace? Who gives true peace? That's right. Can you get it from eating the right kind of sesame seeds or the right kind of diet or being in control? How many have been in good top positions in your businesses and you didn't have any peace there? Okay? It's not always peaceful. Not peaceful in anywhere except in God. So we're going to learn right off that Nebuchadnezzar is going to give away and impart to others something he's now received. Peace. How many think that the head of gold, the guy who was in charge of that vast empire, was really too concerned about what all the other peoples thought, usually? You think he had too many worries about, "Oh, I wonder what they're thinking about me over in what will someday be Iran. I wonder what they think of me." Do you think he was worried? I don't think so. This is a guy who wasn't usually too concerned about what anybody thought but him. But he saw signs and wonders. The word "sign" in the Hebrew means something huge. He saw something huge. What is a sign? Something that points the way. God got his attention. And you know, it took a lot to get this king's attention, don't you think? He didn't have to give his attention to anybody, only him. But God got his attention with something huge. And then a wonder, the Hebrew word is a miracle. Look at each other, say, a miracle. That goes back long ways. I misspelled the word miracle on an overhead one time. It came out like Merkle. So we joke about having Merkles every now and then. What is a miracle? Something that stirs and amazes. And the definition in the Hebrew is something that captures interest and power. And it fills you with awe and terror at the same time. And we sing a song about wonderful, wonderful, full of wonder is our God. He declares God's kingdom is everlasting. How many think that maybe Nebuchadnezzar has been through something that taught him something? For all time and eternity, the kingdom of God will prevail. So what we're seeing in these first few verses is Nebuchadnezzar's praise. Secondly, Nebuchadnezzar's plight. Say it with me. Plight. His plight. Daniel 4, verses 4 through 18 tell us this section of Scripture. Dreams that come from God. You know what's amazing to me is this king had more dreams from God than a lot of the people that belong to God in Israel. This guy's hearing more from God than a lot of them. So his first God-given dream, he's the head of gold, he's in charge, he's so taken with it, he builds a big statue to himself, and all of that happens. And there's a theological word for Jesus showing up in the fire. It's called theophany. Say it with me. Theophany. Or Christophany. Say it with me. Christophany. Theophany. Christophany. And what it means is the tangible physical appearance of God in the Old Testament prior to Jesus. And many of us, as you spend time taking and researching, believe that it was Jesus in the flesh showing up to these people. And so theophany or Christophany. And that was what was happening. He showed up in the midst of the fire. How many thank God he shows up in the midst of your fiery situation? Ever had God show up right when you needed him?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar has had an experience now where he's full of wonder. Chapter 2, chapter 3 of Daniel, he sees the fiery furnace. Have you ever known anybody, I'll say it that way because it's nicer to say it that way because this doesn't mean you and I would never do this. Have you ever known anybody that God really moves on their behalf and does something really great and their heart's as hard as ever? They might be soft and thankful for a day or two. But then it goes right back. You ever know that? That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm still ahead of gold. I'm still in charge. And then God speaks again in chapter 4. Now, he couldn't get his counselors to give him the interpretation again. They can't interpret it. Church, there are some things a demon spirit can interpret, but never the true word of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Never the true word of God. There was prejudice and there was ferocious hatred toward these Israeli young men who were there. Ferocious prejudice against them. That's why you would think after chapter 2, when the other dream comes, the first thing that King Nebuchadnezzar is going to do is say, let's call Daniel. He doesn't. Goes around the mountain again. Anybody in this room ever go around the mountain? You don't learn the lesson the first time, so you go around the mountain again. And then pretty soon, after you're there a third or fourth time, you say, this looks awfully familiar. I've been here before. Isn't that the same old tree, the same old rock outcropping? Gee, Lord, you trying to say something to me? Yeah, duh, exactly. All right, so he's going around the mountain again, but they're, interestingly, they know exactly who to call on when they're really in trouble. Some of the people up and down your block, you're going to be taking prayer drives and you're going to be circling them in prayer and praying and on your knees saying, God, I'm not moving until I see you move on their lives. Some of these people already know who to call when they really need help. They call you for prayer, don't they? Daniel didn't shove the word down the king's throat. Instruction on how to live in a post-Israel world. How do you live in a post-Christian world? He didn't shove the word down the king's throat, but he sure did give him the word. So often we back away. Oh, I don't want to be too strong. Listen, we got probably more error going on not saying it than saying it. Right, church? We need to reach out to our neighbors and reach out and share the Word of God. But anyway, in a post-Christian USA, we need to be able to present the way, the truth, and the light, because people are going to hell, and we need to do our part to stop them from going to hell. Right here in Port Ludlow and Port Hadlock and Chimicum and Port Townsend, Port Gamble and all of this area, Squim and Port Angeles, the whole Olympic Peninsula. Let me tell you what I see. Okay, this is just an aside. I see an Olympic Peninsula on fire for Jesus Christ. I see revival fires. I see it. And you look at me and say, you're crazy. And I can look at you right back and say, yeah, that's right. But I still see it. Yeah. 44 days of prayer. What can you do? You can watch God move. You can focus our prayer and say, okay, Lord, I'm serious. I'm not moving from this time of prayer until I see you do it. Just like Honi, the Israeli sage, and raindrops started to fall from heaven. And Daniel didn't compromise the word. What's Nebuchadnezzar's plight? He's got a troublesome dream. He doesn't know what to do, and this time it's more ominous, beginning in verse 11. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens. It could be seen to the ends of the earth. This is a big tree. Nebuchadnezzar was a big dude. He was the head honcho. Okay? Its leaves were lovely. The fruit abundant. It was food for everybody. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwell in its branches, all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, church, it says, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let seven times pass over him. Now, possibly Nebuchadnezzar didn't even think this applied to him. After all, he's the king of gold. I hear something's coming, but don't know what it is. Ominously, the voice of the Holy One or of God declared, something's going to happen, and chop down that tree. And the heart will be changed to a heart of an animal. Nebuchadnezzar's principle. He learned a principle. Verse 17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. In order that the living may know, please say it with me, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Benjamin Franklin knew the word of God, didn't he? Gives it to whomever he will and sets it over the lowest of men. So we have Nebuchadnezzar's praise, we have Nebuchadnezzar's plight, we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar's principle. He understood the principle. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whoever he will, sets it over the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, or Daniel, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, and watch what he says. I know who to go to when I really am down in the dumps and have a need. I may not go to your church, but will you please have your church pray for me? How many times have we heard that over and over again? I may not walk with Jesus like you do, aunt or uncle, but please be in prayer for me. You are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Turn to each other and say, the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. 17, verse 17, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whoever he will, to the lowest of men. Not hot shots, not men of high degree, not heads of gold, but to people who know they need him. Come on, church, say it with me. I need God. I need Jesus. You know, aren't we dorky? I mean, sometimes we're really dorky. full of the Holy Ghost and dorkiness. Sometimes we say, well, especially before we're saved, I can't go to church. I'm not good enough. Right? Anybody ever say that? Do you know what that's like? That's like saying, I'm not going to go to the doctor until I make myself, I'll get all better, then I'll go to the doctor. Now, isn't that dorky? What you need is the presence of God and the Word of God and the presence of His Spirit changing your life and helping you. You need the doctor when you need the doctor, who gives you some medication that oftentimes helps you. God is the author of healing. It is God who heals. Someone say amen.
Amen.
But there's no sin to use a doctor, and the medicine is something He has developed or allowed to be developed, and God can use it. But we say, I'll get all better, and then I go. And then you sit down with the doctor, and he goes, what are your symptoms? Don't have any. I'm all better. So why are you here? Just wanted to fellowship. Just wanted to pay you so I could come fellowship. Silly. But we act like that. What's the hinge principle here? The hinge principle. God is in complete control. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And the prophetic word this morning was God saying, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. So what do, church? We walk humbly and tenderly with Jesus. We ask for His help. And we ask for the help of others when we need to. You don't have all the answers, so stop being so high and mighty.
Amen.
And that's what Daniel, in love, said to the king of the entire known world. Stop being so high and mighty, you dorky hotshot. Oh, okay, it's not in there. It was in my version. But that's how we are sometimes. I got it. And the Lord said, really? He knew the principle. He knew the principle, but He didn't know the principal, the principle. Any teachers in this room? Okay. You have a school administrator or principal at the school? Yeah, okay. All right. He knew the principle, but He didn't know the principle. You know what I mean? A well-rounded education in America used to include a study of the classics, Shakespeare, etc., as well as the Bible. And the teacher's desk would have a Bible. He or she would give instruction of moral lessons from the Bible. And there would be an understanding of the Bible. We're in a post-Christian culture where most kids don't even know what the old Bible stories are. Daniel and the lion's den. And the different things we've talked about from this book. But though they could quote some of the verses, they didn't know the principal, the head, the Lord of the verse. Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me. There are stories in the scripture of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish because they didn't keep oil in their lamp. They didn't keep their hearts right with God and fully right. They were virgins. The Bible says there's some who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. How are you doing in your walk with Jesus? Are you freshly filled with the Spirit? Are you speaking in tongues? Are you being built up in your most holy faith? Have you surrendered to the Lord? Or if you don't have that experience, are you pressing in? I want more of Jesus. I give Him more of me, the old song says. Is there oil in your lamp? Keep it burning, burning, burning. Are you asking God for a fresh move of His Spirit in your life? Do you live like your next breath depends on God, which it does? Nebuchadnezzar's play. Nebuchadnezzar's play. Daniel tells the king that the tree in the dream is about him in verses 24 through 27 of Daniel chapter 4. There is these verses. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you. Read it with me, please. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Look what he says to the king of the entire known world. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Church, when the Word of God comes to us, the ball is in our court. It's our play. Nebuchadnezzar's play. When prophecy comes, just like it did this morning, we have an opportunity to go deaf and shut it out and harden our heart, or to be tender and broken and yielded before God and say, Oh God, good and perfect is the word of the Lord. I want to respond to you and I choose you. Come on, church, did you choose God this morning? Don't turn a hard heart. When a bridegroom turns to his bride and says, Honey, will you marry me? How many know he's just hoping she'll sit there silently? No, you think if she sits silently for more than about 3 seconds, he's going, did I get the wrong person? The wrong day? You don't like me, really? You know? Doesn't that make you a little insecure? But none of you went through any of that.
No.
Do you know when the bridegroom speaks to us in his church, we're his church, the bride needs to respond. That's what prophecy is all about. There's a conversation going between the bridegroom and the bride, and so we respond. The ball's in our court. Daniel's not proud. He doesn't look at King Nebuchadnezzar and say, So what's wrong with you? I was here 2 chapters ago. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, Look, I've been here all along. And you keep going for your phony baloney counselors, so I'm not going to give you the interpretation. He doesn't do that. He's brokenhearted for this king. Israel has prospered. Judah has prospered in Babylon. He took good care of them. And he's brokenhearted for this king. With a tender, broken spirit. A spirit of love like God loves. God so loved that he gave. And with that spirit of tenderness, he looks and he says, King, turn from your sins. Turn away from your unrighteousness. Turn to God. He speaks the truth in love. He doesn't deny it. He doesn't avoid it. He says it straight, but out of love. And he declares the principle again, just in case we didn't get it the other times. O king, God rules in the affairs of men. What he said right then could have cost him his life. He spoke against the king of the whole known world, and it could have cost him his life. Daniel knows that Judah is in captivity because they wouldn't turn to hear God and change. He knows that. And now he's looking at a king who's getting the same kind of message saying, you gotta turn and respond again. Don't you think his heart is broken for them? And then he says, respond to God, even if it means you last a little while longer. You know, how many know sometimes in our lives there are things called consequences? We don't like them. We don't like them, but sometimes there are. It doesn't mean you're not forgiven. It doesn't mean there's not mercy. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. I believe God is dealing with the United States of America, and I believe our Father God loves us. I believe God loves everybody in this room, but he sometimes allows us to be dealt with. And sometimes we bear consequences, but if we'll walk humbly with our God, he'll help us walk through those difficulties. If God's people pray, and turn from their wicked ways. A loving Father. Remember we gave the context just last week. A loving Father. After the celebration, they dedicated the temple. They dedicated the cloud of glory filled the temple. The priest couldn't stand the minister. You're talking about one of the highest celebrations Judah had ever known in their entire history that Israel had ever known. And that night, you would think Solomon could go to bed going, wow, that was a hot day. We did it. We did it. Wow. And God speaks to him and says, by the way, you asked me for wisdom to know how to lead your people. And when they sin, here's what they need to do. A loving God says to His Son, here's how you lead them. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. Verses 28 through 34, the prophecy is fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar still doesn't get it. He's walking out in his gardens and his glory that he's built, these wonderful places. And he says, look at this great palace. Look at this great place that I have built. And at that moment, the Spirit of God changes him. And this word is fulfilled. And literally, in history's records, it shows that he became like an animal for 7 years. Out in the fields, long twisted fingernails and long hair growing. And there is a psychological malady that there have been a few people through history that have had problems with this same kind of a thing. It is a real thing. The Word of God always comes to pass. Turn to each other and say, the Word of God always comes to pass. Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation. Let's see what happens. Verses 34 through 37 of chapter 4. And at the end of the time, at the 7 years ending, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. Don't you think you would too? You know, you kind of wake up at the end of 7 years going, what am I doing out here? I think I'm a mess. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, His kingdoms from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are repulsed or reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. The book of Daniel is one of the most prophetic books in the Bible, and more prophecies have been fulfilled from the book of Daniel than almost any other. There's one chapter alone where there's nearly 100 prophecies, and they are coming to pass over and over and over again throughout history. And this is, remember the prophecy, you're going to have a stump left in the ground surrounded by brass or by iron, but it's going to return to you. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom. My excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and His ways justice, and, say it with me please, those who walk in pride, He is able to put down. Church, God's either in charge or He's not. Is He in charge of your life? If you think you're in charge of your life, God is able to allow a little abasing to take place until you hit your knees and say, you know what? I ain't such a hot shot. It's you. You're in charge. God is not out to beat you up. He's out to deliver you till you surrender. But if you don't surrender, the Bible says either fall on the rock and be broken, or if the rock falls on you, you're smashed to smithereens. That's a New Testament version. that'll help you remember it, right? But what's the heart of God? A father who says to his prodigal, you need to repent. Now, the prodigal had some consequences, didn't he? You know, he came running home, and his older brother was upset at him. His older brother, the father said to him, you're going to get everything. He spent it all. But even if he doesn't have a whole lot left coming to him, he gets to live in my house and enjoy it. That's grace. That's mercy. How many are glad you get to live in the house of God no matter what you did before?
Yes.
Come on, church. Isn't God good? And Nebuchadnezzar discovered, I may have my borders over all the known earth, but I've discovered one thing. God rules in the affairs of men. Final words of the chapter. Those who walk in pride, he's able to abase. God knows how to make us needy. We need him, church. Our region needs him. The Olympic Peninsula needs Jesus. Washington State needs Jesus. America needs Jesus. The Bible tells us he will fill this earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. Let's begin right here. Let's do our part. We've got something we can do. Come on, there's something you can do. Say it. There's something I can do. There's something, come on, say it to each other and kind of nudge them in the arm. Push them a little bit. Wake them up. There's something you can do. There's something you can do. There's something you can do. Our area needs Jesus. Port Ludlow, Port Hadlock, Port Gamble, Chimicum, Port Townsend, Squim, Port Angeles, all of this area. It needs Jesus. So church at Grace Christian Center, we're going to enter in, and we've entered into 44 days of circle of prayer. And at 7:14, it's as simple as stopping what you're doing and praying and saying, oh God, I'm in this circle and I'm not moving until I see you do something supernatural. Church, we can believe God to do miracles. Your cul-de-sac needs Jesus. Your street needs Jesus. Your community needs Jesus. You can get in your car, you can drive around like the children of Israel went around Jericho and the walls fell flat. God wants to do miracles. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he'll do it. And in closing, that was just the Lord dropping an exclamation point. He'll do it. He'll do it through people who understand that he's in charge. Thanks for your prophecies this morning, gentlemen. When you hear a prophecy that may be a little firmer than you may be used to, don't wimp out. Rise up. Kneel down. Say, God, I'm not too hot to get the switch. And if you want to bring me the switch, all I can tell you is I want to respond. I want to be everything you want me to be. And I want to see this area changed. And I want to see your lives changed and my life changed. And I just happen to believe there are a lot more people up on these hillsides and all around us and families and kids and people that need him. I'm convinced. And I'm not comfortable being casual. Amen? Say amen or oh no. Turn to each other, shake each other one more time, say, don't be casual. Humility, and this is my last line, musicians, you can come. Let's go to that last song that we did. Humility wins God's heart. Humility wins God's heart. How many want God's heart? Stand with me, would you? Father, we thank you that you show us once more through Daniel that there are lessons for us today. Thank you for the courage of the gentleman bringing the prophetic words this morning that helps us dig out our ears and our hearts to respond better to you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we are in love with you. because you first loved us. Oh, Jesus, we believe you want to move supernaturally. We believe it. And you're starting with us. Thanks, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for being here. We thank you this morning for changing our lives forever. We thank you, Lord, that we get to believe you to do something supernatural, something powerful, and something real. Continue to work with your saints. We are yours. And Lord, we believe you to see revival. We declare revival to the north, the south, the east, and the west. We see it. We proclaim it. We believe it. Oh God, up and down our streets, up and down our cul-de-sacs, throughout our communities, people need Jesus. And we thank you for our opportunity to reach out to them and choose to do so in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, I urge you to come. We'll be happy to take time with you. This can be an altar place. If you want to come up and kneel in prayer, if you have a need in your body for prayer, we'll be honored to pray with you.